The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At daybreak, he appeared in the temple again, and as all the people came to him, he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and Pharisees brought a woman along who had been caught committing adultery. And making her stand there in full view of everybody, they said to Jesus, "Master, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery, and Moses has ordered it in the law to condemn women like this to death by stoning. What have you to say?" They asked him this as a test, looking for something to use against him. But Jesus bent down, started writing on the ground with his finger. As they persisted with their question, he looked up, said, "If there is one of you who has not sinned, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Then he bent down, wrote on the ground again. And when they heard this, they went away one by one, beginning with the eldest, until Jesus was left alone with the woman who remained standing there. He looked up, said, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she replied. "Neither do I condemn you," said Jesus. "Go away. Don't sin anymore." This is the gospel of the Lord. Sex sells most things. It's a fact of life, from magazines to newspapers, to books to cars, motorbikes, boats, jewelry, bras. You name it, sexual imagery is used to promote it and persuade you to buy it. And it's not just aimed at the male of the species, who are well known to respond to visual sexual stimuli. It's directed at women as well, just as much, because we're sexual beings and sexuality plays an important part in lives. But there's also a notion that Christians or those of religious inclination are easily scandalized or shocked by things of sexual nature and indignant to those who fall from grace in this area. And so that the idea of a religious prude or anything like that is firmly stuck in literature and culture. And of course, the churches often have been accused of being obsessed with sex, but in fact, it's less concerned actually than is society around us. And so today, most people regard adultery as only the business of the individuals concerned. But adultery in biblical times was a capital offence. And of course, there are still some countries today when that's the case. And we do hear occasionally of people being stoned to death, very often the woman who's stoned to death in extreme regimes in the 21st century. For us, it remains one of the Ten Commandments. We know the havoc it causes, both in family life, societal life. The message of Jesus is not that it was a private matter, none of their business, but that God is merciful and forgiving, and that all of us are in need of forgiveness. That comes through from the two first readings. That first from Isaiah encourages people to forget the past. Isaiah tells the people to forget the exile in Babylon and to trust in the future God has in store for them. No need to recall the past. No need to think about what has gone before. See, I am doing a new deed. And St. Paul, in his second reading, has his eyes firmly fixed on Christ Jesus. Everything in his past history pales into insignificance. But is it that easy to forget the past? Especially for anybody who's been a victim of hurt or abuse or any injustice in the past, we can't dictate to memory what is there. We can't just switch off attention. What often we know as we get older is early life can come stunningly in front of you. And if something's remembered, it's there in mind. So the option isn't between remembering or forgetting. If we have an option at all, it is about how we remember, either negatively or positively. Negative dwells on the injustices and the hurts, bringing up anger, revenge, and a whole train of destructive thoughts and desires. And of course, those who suffer most from these are the one who holds on to the memories. Positive remembering draws from a higher power which transcends the injustice and the wrong suffered. It's the power especially that transcends all wrongs and negativity, and it's love. And that's why in this parable, this story, Jesus and the woman, lust and love meet in that gospel. And the meeting of the woman and Jesus open up both negative and positive reactions. The negatives abound in the stance of the scribes and Pharisees, pointing their finger against the woman. Where's the partner if they're caught in this adultery? Why does he get no mention? The accusations against the woman are very loud. And the letter of the law is cited to Jesus to trap him. But the righteousness that Jesus represents was directed towards helping and healing. Gently, he turns the tables on the accusers, and with that phrase that's echoed down the centuries, let whoever is without sin cast the first stone. We're living at a time when many hidden sins, abuses, injustices of the past are being exposed, not just in church life, but in society, in all life around, letting out the poison. That's very necessary. There's a phrase in the baptism service when the parents or godparents said, see that the poison of sin, as it were, is kept from these children. That poison is what gets in, and it's got to come out. It brings great relief, and it's right. But it's also important that, as Jesus did, moved both the victim and the accusers from the past into a positive direction. Staying with the injuries of the past is like picking and poking at a scar, which will actually prevent any healing. I think we could all probably identify with the woman in the story, not necessarily the sin, but actually, as we look back on our lives, we can think of private moments of shame and sin and failures. But like last week's gospel, Jesus is there showing the love and compassion of God the Father. And as the Father last week ran to both his sons and drew them in, so Jesus is more eager to restore life than to destroy life. And so he forgives the sinner, clothes her nakedness with dignity, and restores her to the ideal of sinning no more. But her accusers also go home better people, because Jesus has challenged them to cast the first stone, and that has forced them to look back at themselves. Always remember, when you're pointing the finger, one finger forward, the others are pointing back at you. And so Jesus is doing what Isaiah prophesied in that first reading, see, I'm doing a new deed. And no wonder we can respond, what marvels the Lord worked for us. Indeed, we are glad.